I'm talking with Mr. Sam Bahour, an American Palestinian living in the Ramallah area. Can you maybe tell me a little bit about what's been happening in the last several days?
Yes, we've been locked down, of course, like the rest of the civilian population. We are basically seeing Israeli tanks maneuvering almost on every street in town on a continuous basis. Every so often we hear explosions. Within the last 60 minutes, we've had around our house five major explosions close to the Palestinian refugee camp of Al-Amari. Today is the first day that we actually saw Palestinian civilians walking, trying to find bread and food stores, which of course are closed, but they're trying to find the owners of the stores if they can open to give them food. These people are risking their lives. These Palestinians are risking their lives to be able to get the basic necessities. As the days goes on, the basic necessities of being able to survive in such a condition, especially if you have any elderly or children or ill in your household, becomes much more difficult. The first day and today, we are without electricity. Yesterday we had electricity, and I guess this has been the case for most of the Palestinian homes in the Ramallah Al-Bida area. Mm-hmm. So it's been difficult. It's been very tense.
Yeah. Can you tell me, what about the water supply? There's been news that in some areas there's the water lines have been broken. Is that...
They have been. The majority of the damage has been done in the northern part of Al-Bida, an area called Al-Bulua. This area basically had the lines cut, I believe, the end of the first day of the Israeli reoccupation. And people were using their, everyone has a tank on their roof that gives them a day or two supply of water. And as I understood yesterday, those supplies started to run out, and the Palestinian homes started to call the media telling them that that was the case. In the area that I'm in, more close to the center of town, we have not been cut off with water as of yet. Our only disruption has been the electricity.
When there are disrupted water supplies, most of the time water trucks come and refill the tanks. Is that possible at this point in time?
Not possible. Today, like I said, I saw three or four people actually go out and venture to get food. But other than that, the only things moving on the streets are Israeli armored vehicles. Every once in a while, we see an ambulance pass by, and there's been a constant flow of armored personnel TV cars that are trying to cover the situation. There's no sense of normal activity whatsoever in the community. I mean, there's absolutely no businesses open that we can see from where we are, other than these three or four people that I think, we're basically playing with fire by trying to go out, especially because the Israelis have called for a shoot-to-kill policy in the Ramallah area. There's nothing happening. And we fear for the days ahead because, as you can imagine, as the days move on, the tension and the supplies start to run out and people start to get very frustrated.
Do you know any information about the numbers of dead and wounded in the area?
We've been trying to keep track via the same satellite channels that other people outside of the area are. There's been close to, I would say, 15 to 20 people who have been known killed, 15 to 20 Palestinians known killed. We've also have been hearing that the Israeli forces have entered some of the buildings, commercial buildings within the center of town, and no Palestinian ambulances or media have been able to get to that area. And a lot of people are talking about that there's a possibility that people have been killed in these buildings. Right. You need to keep in mind that the reoccupation was expected, and a lot of the Palestinian police and military, who basically are not from the area, had nowhere to go to stay other than hide in commercial buildings. And now as the Israelis find them, they're being either killed or imprisoned. My brother-in-law was imprisoned. I have three cousins that have been imprisoned, and mm-hmm. We've been frantically trying to find out where they are. We've been hearing that they have been sent to the Pisgot settlement, and as you saw maybe Shimon Peres today talk about this, that there's a rumor that they may be deported to Lebanon in order to be a human shield against any kind of attacks from Lebanon into Israel. So there's a human toll being taken, and there's a lot of pieces to be picked up once the Israelis leave. But we're committed to remain steadfast, and at the end of the day, they will withdraw. There's no other choice that they have.
Yeah, I'd read in the Palestine Chronicle, you had written that the Israeli soldiers were going from neighborhood to neighborhood demanding that all males from 16 to 60 exit their homes and gather at the local school.
Right. This Israeli call came the first day of the reoccupation. Of course, the Palestinian civilians sitting at home feared that if they did not go out, as requested by the Israeli soldiers, that if the soldiers came into the homes and found them, that they would be hurt or their families would be hurt. So the Palestinian civilians went out into the streets to be searched. They were then collected into a schoolyard. The one that I know of close to my house is called the Mukhtarabin School. Part of them slept in the school rooms, about 30 per room, and there was about 3 to 4 busloads that we know of where my relatives were in that were taken out towards the Beit Il-Pisgot intersection. So we're not sure if they're in Pisgot or if they're in Beit Il. These are Palestinian civilians. These are people who obeyed Israeli soldier orders to exit their house, and they left their families behind, only to be imprisoned for no reason whatsoever other than just being Palestinian.
And you think they actually, like your brother-in-law, may be expelled to Lebanon?
Yesterday we heard these reports. Of course, Israel has done this before. They've taken Palestinians out of their home and threw them on the Lebanese border. We were hoping that it was a rumor, but when we saw Shimon Peres, the Israeli foreign minister, today give a press release regarding this issue, he was, of course, denying it. It made our fears even worse that if it's being discussed at such high levels, then there must be some fire where there's smoke. So we're following through with Israeli attorneys and with Palestinian human rights organizations trying to find out, first, where they are, number two, of their conditions, and number three, demanding their release.
Do you know any more information about I'd seen pictures from the AP press of 5 Palestinian guards of Arafat were shot in the head at close range, and there's been news of other incidences of actual assassinations. Do you know of any information on these?
These are two that we know of that are confirmed. These 5 Palestinian security personnel are exactly part of the example that I said a little bit ago. These are 5 people who took refuge when the Israeli tanks rolled into town in a commercial building. It's the Cairo Amman Bank building in the middle of Ramallah. And they were basically sleeping or sitting in that room that you're seeing on CNN when the Israeli soldiers entered and executed them. Last night there was fear that about 30 people were being treated the same way in the middle of town next to a building called the Dragme building. This morning we awoke to news that 2 were executed, 10 were taken away injured, and the rest of the 30 were imprisoned. Again, we don't know where. Also, Brian, there's an issue that happened the first 2 days of the reoccupation of where the Israeli soldiers took over the local Palestinian television channels and basically started to broadcast pornography. Mm-hmm. I spoke to Agence France-Presse, and they covered this as well. And this is basically the kind of comprehensive campaign that the Israelis are taking to be able to, I don't know what, because if they're trying to tell the Palestinians to leave, we're not leaving. No one is sure what Sharon and his cabinet's decision is to gain from this incursion. At the end of the day, any incursion ends with a withdrawal. And mm-hmm. if the Israeli public stands up today, we would hope and we pray that that withdrawal will be back to the internationally recognized June 4th, 1967 borders, thus ending occupation, which I think is the first step in the right direction to any resolution here.
Yes, and I was been asking other people about this. There are a series of, numerous people in internationals in the West Bank and Gaza Strip showing solidarity with the Palestinian people. But obviously not all of the people around the world who feel solidarity can actually come and actively do this. So what type of actions do you think people around the world who do feel for the Palestinian cause should be doing right at this moment?
Well, I would like to start in Israel. I mean, if you're in Israel and you are a person of conscience, it's time that people demand of their government to end the occupation, which is Unfortunately, the only thing that Ariel Sharon did not mention yesterday in his press release, he said he tried everything, but someone needs to question why Israel, Sharon, Paris have not decided to end the occupation to see if that would stop the violence. If you're in the United States, it's time that the U.S. administration understands that their active involvement in supporting and covering Israel's invasion of Ramallah and the sustaining of occupation must end. Thus, the funding, the U.S. funding to Israel must end as well, as long as the occupation sustains. On other levels, there's a human level of contacting your Red Cross, your local Red Cross, wherever you are, and demanding to know the safety and the whereabouts of the Palestinian prisoners that were taken out of their homes. So I think from meeting with congressmen in the States to meeting with your Red Cross to demonstrating in front of the Israeli embassies, it's time for people to get up from behind their computers and start actually taking action, people to people, to be able to bring the occupation to an end. At the end of the day, if Ariel Sharon wants to kill Yasser Arafat, he will live for a hero forever in the Middle East. And if he allows Yasser Arafat to live, he's going to still be a hero throughout his existence in the leadership of the Palestinian people. So the Israeli leadership has put themselves into a very, very tight corner. There is no way out other than ending the occupation. So everyone around the world needs to support ending the occupation. At the end of the day, there will be coexistence between an Israeli state and a Palestinian state, but we will not live under occupation.
All right, I'd like to thank you very much for this discussion.
Okay, thanks a lot. Let's stay in touch.